to celebrate on our Christian calendar what the church calls the most holy day of the year, the day that Jesus Christ went to the cross of Calvary. Welcome to church today. If this is your first time, or maybe you've come a few times to Impact Church, maybe you're not a normal, regular church goer, and that's okay. We want to welcome you today into our church community. Pray you'd enjoy your time with us this morning. This morning is an hour service. It's an hour long, and then we gather again on Sunday for the resurrection service. I can't tell you how long that one's going to go for, because it could go for a while, because we're doing baptisms on that day, and I think we're baptizing 8 or 9 people on Sunday morning, so that in and of itself takes a whole lot of time. We're going to have a bunch of visitors with us on Sunday, so we're inviting you to come, be here early, make sure you've got your seat, and be involved with what we're doing on Resurrection Sunday. We'll also have some hospitality so that we're sharing free on Sunday morning for all of our guests. So it's service not to be missed, 9 a.m. Sunday morning. Welcome to our online community today, all those that are onboarding in your room, welcome to our room this morning. Great to have you as a part of it. Why don't you welcome our online community today? We've got a number of people that are online that are a part of our church that are not well at the moment, just dealing with COVID and everything, so we welcome them particularly. We're praying for you, praying you get well real soon is our prayer for you today. Well, our theme for this Easter is Easter Changed Everything. And that's the truth and the reality of what the message and the story, the account, the truth of what Easter is. It changed everything for everybody. The cross changed it all. And the reality is Easter changes everything. Get this word, every day. Everyone say every day. Every day. Every day. Easter changes everything every day for everybody. You know, because of Easter, our story has changed. Because of Easter, our script is changed. And because of Easter, our daily narrative is also changed. This is what the Bible says. Paul says this in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Anyone who belongs to Christ. Anyone belong to Christ today? Come on, anyone belong to Jesus today because of what he did on Calvary? Anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. A new person. The old life is gone. Everyone say gone. It's gone. The old life is gone and a new life has begun. All this newness of life, says Paul, is from God. It's all from God. Everything you're enjoying, the journey that you're living with God, this faith walk that you and I and we are on together, it's all from God, who brought us back to himself through what Jesus did for us. I want to remind you today that the cross, that the gospel, that Easter, that everything that Jesus has done for us is about new life. We've got a new life that we are living, and anyone that belongs to Christ is a part of that. Anyone and all that belong to Christ is a part of that new life. I think it's really important for the church to understand the gospel, for believers to understand the gospel, something that is so simple yet so profound, so simple yet so profound, so life-changing for all of us. And I want us to understand the simplicity, yet also the complexity of the gospel of Jesus Christ for each one of us today. Firstly, my first thought is this, is that the gospel is the centerpiece of our faith. It's the centerpiece. It's the foundation of our faith. It's what holds everything together, this understanding of what Jesus did and what Jesus achieved as he hung on the cross and gave his life for us. Once again, the Apostle Paul writes to the church in Corinth and he says, By this gospel you are saved if you hold firmly to the word that I preached to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. For what I received I passed on to you as of, listen to these words, first importance. As to priority, this is my first priority, my foundational thought, says Paul, I passed it on to you that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. that he was buried and that he raised again on the third day according to the scriptures. So the gospel is and should be and must be for a believer of absolute first importance, first priority in our lives. It's not something to set and forget. It's something to set and continue to walk in and continue to walk out and continue to live in and continue to live out of, is our understanding of what Jesus has done for all of us. It's actually our most important truth. It's our most important truth. Our most important message that we speak, proclaim, and live is Jesus. That's our most important message. He is the most important message that we have. The gospel, the Bible calls it good news. Good news. It's good news that Jesus was crucified and you weren't. That should make you smile. It should make you smile that somebody else represented you. Somebody else stepped in and took your place, my place, our place. That one man, the God-man, the Son of God, Jesus himself, was nailed to a cross to take the consequences, the punishment for our sins, so that we don't have to have that punishment upon us. It's good news that Jesus died for us. That's why they call it Good Friday. That's why it's called, I always was perplexed why it was called Good Friday. When somebody was murdered on a cross on our behalf. And it's not until you receive his goodness until you understand why it's called Good Friday. That it's actually a good thing that somebody else stepped in and somebody else paid the price, the only one that could pay the price. And because of his death and because of his resurrection, we have, the Bible says, these rich and rewarding and amazing promises that God has for us. We have life to live and we have eternal life to expect and to hope for, is what the Bible says. So the gospel, it gives us everything we need to live the life that God has planned for us. Everything we need. Peter says it this way. He says his divine power has given us everything we need to live a godly life through our knowledge of him who has called us by his own glory and goodness. So this gospel is amazing. Paul says, this is the gospel I preach to you. Christ died for your sins. He was buried and he rose again on the third day. So he died, but he's not dead. Go figure. He died, but he's alive. He died, but he's alive and he lives eternally so that we might live with him. Let's consider a few things today to start with about what the gospel is not. I want you to understand exactly what the gospel is not. This is an important one. The gospel is not about rules. It's not about rules. The church is well known for rules. Religion is well known for rules, for the introduction of them, for the application of them. We are known for the rule book. But the gospel is not actually about rules. It's about another R. It's about relationship. It's about a relationship that God initiated and that God established and that God continues to establish with every single one of us. It's a relationship book. It's a relationship journey that God has us all on. So firstly, the gospel is not about rules. The gospel also is not about our good works. It's not about our good works. We do good works, but that's not what the gospel is about. That's the result of the gospel. Wherever you see the gospel go, you will see good works. You will see believers doing good things. You'll see believers living well. And it's not because they do good works to be saved or to be right with God. They do it because they are right with God. You can't help but do good works when you've got a good God that lives inside of you, who is helping you live the good things that he planned for you to do a long time ago, is what Paul says. This one is my priority thought. The gospel is not about judgment. It's not about judgment. So many people think and they understand from a, I guess if we use this word, a theological position, that the gospel is about judgment. It's not about the judgment of God on us. It's not about the wrath of God towards us. It's actually about the wrath of God towards sin. It's on the wrath of God towards Jesus, whom the Bible says became sin for us when he was nailed to the cross of Calvary. So the gospel is all about what Jesus took on himself on our behalf. It's about how this one man represented everybody. You see, this all started in the book of Genesis in the beginning when Adam sinned. And because Adam sinned, the Bible says we all sinned. We all sinned in Adam, which seems really unfair that I'm a sinner because of what somebody else did. I'm a sinner because of what Adam did. And a lot of people protest that thought. But here's also the unfairness of it all and the injustice of it all. Just as one man sinned and we were all held accountable, one man was nailed to a cross and he paid the price and we are all set free. Isn't that a beautiful picture of what the gospel is? One man, the last Adam is what the Bible calls him. The last Adam because there's no need for any more. He's the last representative. We've only ever had two representatives. Adam in the garden and Christ on the cross. And Christ on the cross defeated everything that was initiated through the sin that Adam in the garden caused. And so the gospel is not about the anger of God on you and the wrath of God on us as mankind. It's about the love of God on us and the love of God towards us. John 3:17, which comes after the most famous verse in the Bible, which we'll look at soon, says this: "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn it, but to save it." Why was he sent? He wasn't sent to judge it. He wasn't sent to judge you. He wasn't sent to condemn you or to condemn us or to condemn the world. He was sent to what? Save it. Save it. You can't save what you judge. You can't save what you condemn. He came to save the world. And the Bible says in Romans 10:9, if we confess with our mouth that the Lord Jesus Christ is God and believe in our heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. I love the thought that that opportunity to confess and believe is given to every human being, not an exclusive little group. Not just an exclusive church. There's no such thing as an exclusive church in the eyes of God. There's God's church, and it comes in many brands. It's like humanity. We come in a lot of different brands. There's a lot of different skin colors and ethnicities and languages and cultures that exist. But we are under the one umbrella. We are humanity is what we are. And it's the same with the church. It doesn't matter what your church affiliation, association, background might be. We're all a part of the church of God. The church of God. You know, the gospel, I love that the gospel is not exclusive. It's not an exclusive club. We don't have a secret handshake. There's no like initiation process like that to be a part of it. All there is believing in Christ and living for him, believing and acknowledging him as Lord and Savior. So this gospel is for anyone, anywhere, anytime. Anyone, anywhere, anytime who chooses to believe. The gospel is the most inclusive message in the world. The invitation is given to anyone. If you believe, you can receive forgiveness. If you believe in Christ and call upon the name of the Lord, you will be saved. I love the fact that the invitation is given to absolutely everybody, and nobody can feel like I wasn't invited. Have you ever not been invited? Come on, you heard the party was on and you're not there. You're not invited and you're sitting at home by yourself, miserable. You're on Facebook looking at all the posts. You know, everyone else is having a great time. And your friends are at the party, but you're not invited to the party. Maybe you've been unfriended. Maybe they don't follow you anymore. That doesn't happen. In the kingdom of God, in God's church, in God's family, it's an anyone, anytime, anywhere invitation that is given. No matter who you are, where you've been, what you've done, you're welcome. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're welcome. You're welcome. You're invited. Yeah, that's the best news. That's the best news ever. So what is the gospel? What the gospel is? I've got a few thoughts about some things that the gospel of Jesus Christ has unleashed for us here on earth. Firstly, the gospel unleashed love like we never knew. It unleashed love like man had never seen before and we will never see again. You know, the world has never seen a greater act and demonstration of love than Jesus laying down his life on the cross of Calvary. There's never been a more significant 6 hours for humanity than the 6 hours that Jesus hung on that cross of Calvary. Prior to the cross, people had not seen a love like that, a commitment, a demonstration, a picture, a show, a display of love like Jesus showed on that day. The culture of the time, people hated each other. Servants hated masters, masters hated servants, races hated and despised each other. And Jesus steps into that culture and he offers his life on the cross for all of them. Masters, servants, everybody. From each tribe, language, culture, it didn't matter. In the midst of this environment, he lays down his life on the cross in love of mankind. And this is what he said to his disciples about that. He said, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down his life for his friends. Just prior to that, the verse before, he said, I want you to love each other as I have loved you. And he said, this is how I love you. He said, this is how I will show I love you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down his life for his friends. You know, the cross is the best show and tell story that has ever been given. This is God showing and telling how much he loved you, that he laid down his own life for you. Think about that. For me. Something that we didn't deserve. We had no power to do ourselves. He stepped in and he did that. The Bible says it's because the Father loved us so much that he sent his Son. So much he loved us that he sent his Son. This is the verse, John 3:16. This is the crux of the gospel. This is the thought of why Jesus came. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting or eternal life. If you ever doubt that God loved you, just look at the cross. Understand the cross. Read about the cross story, and you'll see a loving Son that loved his Father, the Son of God, Jesus, loved his Father in heaven so much, and the Father in heaven loved you and I so much that he sent his Son. He didn't send just any angel. He sent his Son, his one and only Son. The darling of heaven is who he's pictured to be and who he is to the Father and who he is to us. This was the one that laid on the cross of Calvary and showed us a love of how we are to love him, but equally importantly, how we are to love each other. It taught us a new way to love. It taught a new culture of love in the communities of the world. See, God's love is very different to ours. Our love is conditional. God's is unconditional. Our love has limits. God's love is limitless. It's limitless. Our love has to be deserved. God's love is undeserved. Our love changes. God's never changes. Our love is restricted. God's love is totally unrestricted. Our love is measured or controlled, whereas God's love is recklessly applied towards us. Recklessly applied towards us. Even when we feel like we don't deserve it and we shouldn't take it and we shouldn't partake of it, the invitation of heaven is, I love you. Take it. Take it. Take the love of God. So the gospel unleashed a whole new way of loving. Secondly, the gospel unleashed forgiveness for the unforgivable. Forgiveness for the unforgivable. Ephesians 2:14, Paul says, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions or sins. It is by grace that you have been saved. Jesus did not come to make bad people good. Jesus came to make dead people live. That's what he came for. Any dead people living today, any dead people living today. Paul says, let me go back. Paul said that we were dead in our sins. Now we have been made alive with Christ, made alive in Christ. We're not good people. We are dead people living. I was a sinner. You were a sinner. We've been saved by grace. And now we're walking out of that deadness and walking every day into life. So Jesus came to make us alive in Him. In the words of that song, my chains are gone, I've been set free. Anyone thankful that their chains are gone? Come on, my chains are gone, I've been set free. This is good news, people, that our chains are gone, we've been set free. That we were dead in our sins, but we're no longer dead in our sins. So don't act like you're dead in your sins. Don't walk around like a zombie. A zombie does not praise God or give any praise to God. There's no glory to God in us being zombies. We're not zombies. We have come from deadness into life in and with what Jesus has done for us. We couldn't do anything to save ourselves. Nothing to save ourselves is what Paul says. This is by faith alone in Jesus that we have this life, this eternal life. And so the gospel, the cross, Calvary, it brings life to us by setting us free from the guilt of sin. The guilt of sin. You know, guilt is a burden we were never designed to carry. It's a burden we're never designed to carry. Psychologically, emotionally, physically, socially, every possible way, the human soul was not created. We were never designed to carry the weight and the burden and the brokenness of sin. That's part of the cursed life that Adam introduced to us. That's why Jesus said, if you're heavy laden, if you've got some burdens, come on, lay them down. Lay them down, give them to me. Exchange them with my burden. My burden's light. Jesus is so light. He's so light. And he says, I will take my lightness and I will give that to you and I will take your heaviness. When Jesus hung on that cross, it was the weight and the burden of the sins of the world. Not just your sins. Like my sins weigh heavy enough. But yours with mine, and then the next person's with mine, and then this room full, all added together, but the sins of the world hanging on one person, he did that to give you lightness. So walk lightly today in the freedom and in the guilt-free life that Jesus has designed for you. Be forgiven and live forgiven and walk forgiven and talk forgiven and treat others in the same way that you've been forgiven. The Bible showed us not only how to be forgiven ourselves, but how to forgive others. And the Bible says, you freely received, now freely give. Forgive others as you also have been forgiven. So Jesus just didn't come to make bad people good. He came to make dead people live. Ephesians 2:8. For by grace you've been saved by faith. Nothing you did could ever earn this salvation. Stop right there. Humans are conditioned to earn everything they receive. We are. We're conditioned to earn everything we receive. We had a famous prime minister years ago who said, nothing is for free. Nothing is for free. There's no such thing as a free lunch. Paul Keating. No such thing as a free lunch. We're designed to earn everything. And sometimes believers can think and have that thought process, that paradigm, that script of I'm right with God because of how I'm living. I'm right with God because of what I'm doing. I'm right with God because I'm keeping the rules. No, you're right with God because Jesus was crucified. That's the only reason you're right with God. It doesn't matter how good you get, you're not going to get good enough to get God. You don't get good to get God. You get good because God got you. That's how you get it. You and I are not good in and of ourselves. We're only good because we've got a good God who's got good things living in us and working through every one of us. Paul goes on to say, this is all happening so that no one will ever be able to boast For salvation is never a reward for good works, for human striving. Being made right with God is a free gift from God. Have you opened that yet? Have you opened that gift? Have you opened that free gift of God that you don't have to earn? A gift that is not based on works, a gift that is based on what Jesus did at the cross of Calvary. It's a gift that gives us mercy. Here's the thing about mercy. Mercy means that we don't get what we deserve. We don't get what we deserve. How many of you are glad that you haven't got what you deserve? What about the rest of you? Are you glad you haven't got what you deserve? We get grace, and the good news about grace is grace gives us what we don't deserve. It gives us what we don't deserve. In other words, we don't get the punishment, we get the gift. We don't get the punishment, we get the gift. I would rather the gift any day, wouldn't you? I would rather the gift than the punishment. You see, we really don't deserve God's goodness, but we get it. We really don't deserve God's blessing, but He showers us with it. We really don't deserve to have our needs supplied, but He is our Jehovah Jireh who supplies all of our needs. We really don't deserve to have our prayers answered, but He hears, He listens, and He answers our prayers. But all because of the cross. Because this cross is a symbol that God gives us blessing, the blessing of His presence, the blessing of His person. He gives us His goodness and His favour, even though we don't deserve it. The next thing the cross unleashed for us was God's payment for the price for our sins. God's payment for the price for our sins. Jesus hung on that cross because of my sin. Make no mistake about that. Not just me, your sin. Everyone say, He hung on the cross because of my sin. Say, my sin. My sin. He hung on the cross because of my sin. This is important to understand about the gospel, because if my sin is not responsible for Calvary, then Calvary is not responsible for my sin. So it's important for me to understand He hung there for my sin. He hung there for our sins. Because if He didn't, then He's hanging there for someone else's sins. And I want to understand, and I want to believe, and I want to live in the freedom that He hung there for my sins. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "For He," that's God the Father, "made Him who knew no sin," that's Jesus the Son, "to be sin for us, that He might become the righteousness of God in Him." And so the great exchange, the thing that changed forever at Easter, was that we sinners became the righteousness of God. In other words, we were made right with God because Jesus took all of our wrongness, all of our sin, all of our transgressions, and it was laid upon Him. And what happened at the cross, the real picture of what was taking place on that cross, was the Father was being satisfied. God the Father was being satisfied in terms of the price being paid. There was a price to pay, and it was to be paid to Him. None of us could pay it. The only one that could pay it was His Son. And that's why He came, and He hung on that cross. And when the world went dark, when the earth went dark from 12 noon till 3 p.m., as Jesus hung on that cross, it was the Father turning His back on the Son and rejecting Him. It was a moment Jesus had never experienced before. He had perfect fellowship with the Father, but it was breached, it was broken, it was interrupted, it was disrupted in this moment. For 3 hours, He carried the rejection of the Father. And then finally Jesus cries out from His heart and His spirit, "My God, my God, why have You forsaken Me?" He'd never known the forsakenness of God before. He'd only ever known perfect unity and completeness with the Father, but now it was broken because of our brokenness. And He hung there in the darkness, in the rejection of the Father, and He faced the darkness so that you and I don't have to. So that you and I don't have to. He faced the rejection of the Father. I don't know whether, as a child, your mother ever said to you, "You wait until your father gets home." A lot of parents use that language, and it instills in the heart of a child the respect and the fear of the presence of a father coming home and dealing with that matter that needs some correction, some adjustment, some discipline. It's like the presence of the father, the stature of a father in the home, the posture of a father in the home was, I guess if I use this word, more intimidating for a child. And so that thought of, you wait until your father gets home. He's going to set this right. And it's kind of like this for Jesus as he faces the rejection of the father. See, the rejection of the Jews, Jesus could face that. The rejection of humanity, Jesus could take that. But the rejection of his father, that was heavy. And so he cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Paul says this in Romans 3. He said, God sent Jesus to take the punishment for us and to satisfy God's anger against us. Notice that word satisfy. It's satisfied. It's done. It's paid for. Jesus paid for it. God's not angry at you. He's not that father in the heavens with a big stick. You don't have to wait until your father comes home. There is no intimidation. God doesn't want you to live that way, for us to live that way. He wants us to live free, and you can't live free until you know it's been satisfied. The price has been paid, and we are made right with God when we believe that Jesus shed his blood, sacrificing his life for us. And so the Father sent the Son to die on the cross to satisfy his own wrath, his own anger against us. You could literally say God paid his own price. He paid his own price. I love it when I go to a restaurant and I walk up to pay for my meal and somebody else has paid for it. And I have a number of friends that do that. I suggest if you ever take me out for dinner, that's what you do. They walked up while I wasn't looking, and they paid for it. And I walk up to the counter to pay. And when I get to the counter to pay, the lady at the counter says, sir, it's already paid for. Now, it doesn't matter how much I protest, they're not going to reverse that transaction. It doesn't matter how much I jump up and down. The only thing I can do at that moment is receive it. And I walk away with a smile on my face, my wallet in my pocket. I walk away richer. I walk away happier. I walk away blessed. I don't reject it. I don't throw a tantrum. I don't sulk all week because somebody else paid the price. I enjoy it. Stop trying to pay the price for what's already paid for. Stop trying to pay the price for what's already paid for. Live free. That's the message of the cross. Just live free. You don't have to live broken. You don't have to live displaced. You don't have to live limping. You don't have to live regretting. You don't have to live remembering. You have to live understanding that this gospel is the centerpiece of our faith and everything that we believe, and the weight and the burden of our sins rested upon Jesus as he died on the cross, and the Lamb of God has paid for it all. Lastly, I think, the gospel unleashed restoration for our ruins. Restoration for our ruins. Now, this is my second last thought. It unleashed restoration for our ruins. You know, the cross is really the only answer for the crisis of humanity. What crisis? The crisis of sin. Everything that happens in our world that is negative happens because of sin. That's what the Bible tells us. Everything that happens negatively in this world happens because of sin. The cross is the only thing that restores the heart of man to God and the heart of people to each other. It's the only thing that restores that. It's the only thing, the cross, that restores us to the journey of being restored to function and to purpose and to fulfillment in life, is to be made right with God. It brings peace, is what the gospel does. And my question for every one of us today is, have you allowed God, have you allowed the Holy Spirit to confront the parts of your life and your world and your heart and your mind that are dead and dying? Have you allowed God to confront the ruins, those parts of your world and your life where you feel it's ruined? Have you allowed God to confront that? Have you allowed God to remove that? Have you allowed God to restore you as a person? People think, I can't be forgiven. I can never get it back. My life will never be the same again. I had my chance. I'm scarred forever. I just have to live ruined. No, you don't. The truth is, we are all ruined. We are all broken. We are all in need of God. All of us. We're all sick. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're sick. Fully sick. We are all fully sick. Doesn't matter how good you clothe it, you disguise it, you mask it, you masquerade it. You are sick. And the Bible says the sick need a doctor. The sick need a doctor. And God is that doctor. So we don't give up and lay in our ruins. We ask the restorer to come and rebuild. And my promise to you is God can turn your world and your life around no matter what the ruin is. God can bring restoration to you and to your heart and to your life and to your world. You don't have to bring all the rightness of your life to God. God's not interested in that. He just wants the ruins. He can do so much with the ruins. Just bring the brokenness. Just bring the hurt. Just bring the tragedy. Just bring the betrayal. Just bring whatever it is and bring it to God, and He will make something beautiful. Out of your life. We used to sing it years ago. Something beautiful. Something good. All my confusion, He understood. All I had to offer Him was brokenness and strife. But He made something beautiful out of my life. I want you to know today, that's what God does. That's who God is. That's what our gospel is. That's what God has unleashed. And lastly, God has unleashed a beautiful promise of a better tomorrow. The Bible says those that believe in Christ will have eternal life. They'll be saved and have eternal life. Not only are your dead sins forgiven, your future is eternal life. Although physically you will pass away, although physically you will die, we'll be united with God in heaven forever. That's our blessed hope. That's the hope of every human being. Because we weren't designed to die. We were designed to live forever. Death entered the world through sin. So when Christ went to the cross, He broke the power of death. The story of Sunday, which I can't wait for Sunday. The story for Sunday is He broke that. And He introduced eternal life. Would you stand to your feet with me? I want to pray for you today, and then we're going to share communion together as we conclude our service this morning. But it would be amiss of me not to give an opportunity just to pray with people today. And I'm just going to pray with you right where you are, just right in your seat. I'm a big believer that God can fill any gap, and distance is not a problem to God. You're close to God wherever you are today. So whether you're online today and joining us online, and you're in a lounge room somewhere or somewhere else in the house, you can take this moment. For those that are in the room today, I want to pray that you would understand and receive the fullness of everything the gospel, this centerpiece message, the cross of Jesus has achieved for you and I. See, to walk in anything less with God is really to disrespect His name and His work. God believes in you more than you believe in yourself. And you may not be perfect. You may actually be far from it. But I guarantee you this, the moment you begin to open up your heart to Christ and to Jesus, to God's Word, the trajectory of your life is going to go one way. It's going to slowly climb, slowly climb, slowly climb. And God loves you. He doesn't love you because you're perfect today. He loves you because you're a person. That's why He loves you. He loves you because He created you. He loves you. I want to pray today for people that just need that affirmation today of, God, I want to understand and believe everything about that cross. Everything He's done for me. Maybe you need forgiveness today. What a good day to say, I want to follow Jesus. Maybe you need to start following Jesus today. Maybe you've never really followed Him. You may have been a religious person. Just because you go to church doesn't mean you follow Jesus. It just means you go to church. And maybe it's time to start following Jesus. Maybe it's time to say, I need my sins forgiven. Maybe it's time to say, I'm just going to leave it all at the cross and I'm going to start to live a whole new life. And if that's you today, I'm going to ask you in a minute to put your hand up nice and high and look me right in the eye. I'll acknowledge your hand. I'll ask you to put it down. Then I'm going to pray for you because I want to pray that Jesus would come into your heart and set you free today, give you that opportunity. So if you're online today and you want to give your life to Jesus, just put a comment in the comments column. Just say yes. One of our team will help you in terms of that decision. But I want to include you in this prayer very much also. So while every head is bowed right now, every eye is closed, if you want to come to Christ today, or you want to return to Christ today, you want to ask Him to forgive you of your sins, and you want to live in the freedom of everything Jesus has done for you and won for you, you want to surrender your life and your heart and your future, your now also, to Him, then the Bible says, if you believe that Jesus Christ is Lord and you confess with your mouth, then you will be saved. You will be saved. There's no other way to be saved than to believe it and confess it. So if that's you today, I'm going to ask you right now, if you're in the room with every head bowed, every eyes closed, if you'd lift up your hand nice and high, let me see your hand, do that boldly, and look me right in the eye, I'll acknowledge you, ask you to put your hand down, then I'm going to pray for you. Right across the room right now, if that's you, lift up your hand nice and high. If you want to give your life to Jesus today, you want to make a commitment to Him, you want to return to Him today, if that's you, lift up your hand nice and high, let me see your hand. Going to pray for you. If you're online, put a comment in the comments column right now. Just say yes in the comments column and we'll see you. God will see you and we'll pray with you today. Thank you. Thank you. You can put your hand down. Thank you. Somebody else, is that you? Is that your prayer today? Lift up your hand nice and high. Let me see your hand. I'm going to pray for you today and include you in this prayer. Also in this prayer today, I'm just praying for people that are trying to walk out this Jesus journey, and maybe you're struggling and maybe there's just some clarity you really need, some love from God you need, some affirmation from God you need today and your heart needs to help you in your brokenness journey. I want you to lift up your hand right now. I'm going to pray for you as we join together and pray for God to come this Easter and bring you life. Father, in Jesus' name, today we come to you, God, and I pray for this young one, Lord, that's lifted their hand today. I pray in Jesus' name, Lord, as they open up their heart and confess Jesus as Lord, that you would come into their heart, new life would begin, sins would be forgiven, and a future would be written. The script would be made new today, as of this day. I pray in Jesus' name. I pray for all of us today, but Lord, particularly those that have lifted their hand to say, I need help. I need affirmation from heaven. I need to learn how to apply this love of Christ in my heart and walk in forgiveness. Lord, help us today, whether online, whether in the room, to walk in the freedom and the liberty and the result and the blessing and the favor of everything that the punishment that Jesus experienced on our behalf. Thank you for Jesus today. We celebrate Him, Father, in your name. Amen. Amen. Now, communion is going to be a little bit different today. We normally hand it around. But Easter Friday, we always do it a little differently. So we've had some bread baked for you. And we've got it placed out here on four stations. What I'm going to ask you to do is come on out to the station in front of your sitting area. And you get to serve yourself today in terms of take your glass, and then our server will, with tongs, because this is COVID period, will serve you some bread to take back to your seat. And take a good chunk, because it's good bread in both ways. Jesus is the bread of heaven, and this is good bread also, guaranteed. So we're going to sing, worship the Lord. As we do, why don't you come and serve yourself? And just wait to be served together there. Come on. Called Sori. Good name. And there's Far Sori and Near Sori. It's where Beatrix Potter's house is, and it's a beautiful part of the world. And we went to a Church of England church on the Sunday in Sori, which was pretty cool. So we're sitting in this church, and here I am as a Sori, sitting in Sori, in church, in my favourite house. It was a Church of England church. It was a little bit different. And it just reminded me of it right then. I just felt a little bit Church of England, a little bit Catholic even, watching you all come out and get communion like that and doing the laps. And I remember when the, whatever he was called, I don't even remember what he was called, the reverend or the rector or whatever he was, but he had a good job. And he did a great job that day, did an amazing job. And at communion, he said, "Now, when you come out, if you want the blessing, lift up your left hand. If you want communion, lift up your right hand." So I went out the front and I lifted up both hands, because I'm a Pentecostal. So we lift hands. So I lifted up both hands with the thought of, I want more. I don't just want the blessing. I want the fellowship. I want the communion. Come on.
I want both. So I took three bits of bread today because I want more. That's why I encourage you to take a big chunk. Jesus has done so much for us. He's done so much for us. And He wants us to live our life so fulfilled, so enriched, so free, so free. And that's what the cross is all about. It's about freedom. It's about freedom. It's about living in freedom and not allowing anything to weigh heavy on your heart and hold you back and hold you down and knock you down and knock you out and take you out. But to live in the freedom of what His body has done for us. Jesus said, with everything I talked to you about today, listen to the weight of these words. This is my body given for you. This is my body given for you. When He said that to His disciples, they didn't understand the profoundness of that. But we, now knowing the fulfillment of the story, that phrase, this is my body given for you, means so much more. And this is my blood shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. These symbols today epitomize the love of God for us and the belief He has in you and the love He has for you. In the words of whoever said it, I don't know who said it, and it could be a sacrilegious moment to even say it, so I walk cautiously, but I believe in the truth of it. Eat, drink, and be merry. Eat, drink, and be merry. Eat, drink, and be merry. To be merry is to be free. Let's partake of His body given for us. Partake of this juice representing the blood of Jesus that washes away all of our sins. Thank you, Father. Please pass your glasses to the end of the aisles, and we're just going to conclude with this beautiful worship phrase and frame, and lean in and just worship the Lord as we finish today.
God bless you. Have an amazing weekend. Thank you.